Welcome to HeavyPod as HeavyCast, episode 96. Unfortunately, Eden is not with us this week. He has some sort of problem, as he usually does. Of course, we wouldn't have our regular setup, because over the past 2 months, we have had kind of all kinds of problems. But instead, this week, we have two cooler people, I would say. So, it's we have Axel Rosenberg and Chris Krovatin from Metal Sucks.
It's pronounced Krovatin, actually.
Krovatin. Oh, sorry.
That's it. It rhymes with Satan.
Oh, is that the joke?
I guess. That's what I've been running with for some time. It helps people remember.
So, yeah, and also Axel Rosenberg.
Hi.
Is kind of here.
Can you hear me at all?
Yes, kind of. Yes. For now. Let's
keep walking east.
Walking east. Yeah, east is where the data comes from, so...
Okay.
So, why do we have this colorful cast of characters with us, other than they're cool people? Because they have a book coming out in October, I think, and is called Hellraisers, A Visual History of Heavy Metal Mayhem. So, I can do a poor job of describing the book, but why do that while the authors are here? So, take it away, guys.
I'm going to let Chris do this, because I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Awesome. Okay, so, So our book is basically a history of heavy metal and sort of an introduction to heavy metal culture. It's kind of set up like the syllabus of a class, basically teaching you about various genres and aspects of metal, and then giving you like a homework playlist and sort of a starter kit of the things you'll need for each genre fandom. But what makes it special really to us is like the beery asshole opinions that run rampant throughout. Sorry, go ahead.
I did notice that, like, when it came to deathcore, I was like, are they gonna pull any punches? But I was like, nope.
I think it was really important for us to, like, write a book that would sound like, and that's, for me, writing about metal has always been best when it sounds like two dudes in a basement, like, drinking, like, 8 tall boys apiece and yelling at each other while listening to records, you know what I mean? And so it's very much a book about two metalheads fashion of what they know about. So
yeah. By the way, there was a little bit of a cutoff there, some noise coming off in the background, but we got the gist of what you said. No.
Right.
So it's interesting because, like, of course, this isn't necessarily the first history book on metal, but like you said, the perspective is kind of what makes it different, I guess. Because, like, the only other book I've read in this fashion was Lords of Chaos. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Of course.
The black metal history. But that one's a lot more academic. And this one's a lot more, like you said, you know, there's more attitude to it, right? And of course, you have the playlist recommendation. So at Heavy Blog, we've done like historical retrospective type of articles. And I'm wondering, so it's not easy to kind of dig into the history of metal because there isn't really like metal historians out there for the most part, and all you gotta do is either like go to Wikipedia/forums and use a little bit of your own kind of knowledge from the scenes and stuff. So how did you guys kind of gather that information together? Because it's hard.
I mean, you know, the one good thing about being a metalhead is there's a bit of that spoken word tradition thing of like what I was saying about basements. Like, I've done that so much of my life. It's like hung out with somebody and gotten a little drunk and just talked about metal for hours and hours. So a lot of these were stories we both sort of already knew, and it was just a chance to kind of get them down and get down, like, kind of our realist opinions of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I sorry to interrupt. Can you hear me, first of all, before I begin?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay. I just approached this as though, like, you know, because most of my friends are not metal people. So I just thought in my head, like, what if I had a room full of those friends and I had to explain to them what the fuck this was? Like, how would I do it? And so, yeah, like Chris said, it's very conversational.
So it's interesting you put it that way, especially talking towards non-metal heads, because the other day I was watching this GDC presentation by Mick Gordon. Are you guys familiar with Mick Gordon? He's the guy who did the soundtrack for the new Doom game.
Okay. I know the game. I guess I don't know him.
Yeah, so he's a metal guy. Like, he, of course, you can tell from the soundtrack. But at some point during the presentation, like, he was describing how he achieved the sounds and whatnot. And during the presentation, like, when he got to the metal part of it, he would kind of turns out that he has these kind of stereotypical opinions of metal, like the typical negative image, right? It's like, it's just noise, like it's unappealing to people, it puts people off and stuff like that. So it kind of annoyed me that he presented metal as this like undesirable thing. So it's interesting to me that to a non-metal general public type of audience, you guys went for Maximum Attitude as the tone of the book.
I think, go on, Chris.
Oh, sure. I was just going to say, you know, man, it's funny. At the beginning of the book, there's like, we wrote down like five basic rules of what we think about metal. And the first one is that metal is awesome, mm-hmm. because I personally, as like a metalhead who like listens to metal every day, get really sick of.
I can't
just
hear shit.
Doing metal is just kind of like hilarious and semi. I prefer like admitting that metal is awesome and reveling in it than doing some ironic like, okay, we know metal's cheesy, but it's kind of noisy, but it's got its cool aspects. There's something cool about it. Like, I just love metal, and so I feel like we rather would write that book than write a book where it's sort of like doing a lot of winking and eye rolling and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong, we do plenty of that throughout, because part of loving metal is admitting that it's the silliest fucking thing on earth in a lot of ways, man. You know,
to me, like, loving something and having a sense of humor about it have never been mutually exclusive.
Right.
That's good.
But also, like, my reaction whenever I tell somebody what I do and they're like, oh, I really don't like metal, my reaction is like, yeah, like, I get it. I understand why people don't like it. I hope they understand why I hate fucking pop music or modern pop music. And, like, whatever, it's not for them.
Yeah, it's the... You mentioned that you have like a you can like something and be humorous about it, and that's, you know, metal, if anything, has a reputation for taking itself way too seriously and not being really humorous per se. So are you going through some sort of gate?
Axel, are you walking through a meat locker right now?
I'm trying to go back into my apartment to see if that's working. How does this sound?
It sounds good. It sounds good. You're
and
good.
Also, fucking Vince keeps texting me because fucking Decapitated just got arrested.
What?
Yeah. So I'm getting all these fucking texts from Vince, and like, dude, I'm shut the fuck up. I'm trying to do an interview. how do I sound now?
Decapitated got arrested.
Really? Can we talk about Decapitated now?
Yeah, all four members just got arrested.
For what?
What the fuck?
Kidnapping.
What?
For kidnapping?
Yeah.
What?
Like, yeah. I don't, fuck.
Sorry, Decapitated from Poland? Like the technical death metal?
No, band? No, Chris. Decapitated from Texas. Yeah, of course Decapitated from Poland.
What the fuck? Okay, well, this is like a hot developing story right now. Too bad the podcast isn't live. By the time this comes out, I'm sure the hot takes will be all over the internet.
Say, man,
I'm hoping it's bogus.
Wow. That's
okay, I'm indoors. Does this sound okay?
It sounds amazing. It sounds way better.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to stay here.
Okay, so speaking of getting arrested, no. There's no. So actually, no, I was just saying, like, metal has a reputation for taking itself way too seriously, and I'm glad that you guys kind of took a tone like that in this book. And also, I noticed that both at the very beginning and very end of the book, you guys have notices that basically say fuck racism, which is also amazing, and it's fucking awful that it has to be said. But yeah, that's, you know, that's been a problem lately. And like, I also like the dump you guys take on Varg.
Well, Varg McKiernay's man is just, it's funny because like I grew up with so many people like trying to find nuance in metal by being like, look, Varg's a bad man, but his music is like really powerful, and there's no denying that. But I've listened to a lot of Burzum, and I think Burzum just sucks, man. And so
I agree.
Any chance to rip on Varg, I'm like, fine, because like, I'm not even respecting his like weird, you know, water dripping in a cave black metal or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But
to me, like, the best album he was ever involved with was the one he had the least to do with, which is the first Mayhem album.
So when can we read the book about water dripping in a cave black metal?
I would love for us to be able, if someone would pay us to do a follow-up book on black metal where we could really take the time to talk about, like, what we love about that genre, but then just, like, go nuts. Because black metal is the ultimate example of a metal genre that takes itself too seriously, even though it's just hilarious.
Bullshit. You know what I mean? I mean, I like black metal, but it is bullshit.
Yeah, but no, we had this really amazing exchange when we were doing this where I wrote something to the effect of, like, corpse paint is supposed to be scary, but it's just clown makeup. And Chris's note on that was like, come on, man, give it more credit. It's way more interesting than that. And I was like, okay, so put whatever you want in. I'm not offended. And then he wrote back a few days later, ah, just leave it. And that to me, like, kind of sums up black metal.
I kept trying to think of, like, how will I put this? It's like war paint for a pagan north or something like that. And every time it just came back to being like, some dude is in a back room with liquid latex makeup, like applying his war paint to the north, like getting nervous about going on stage. Like, so that's, again, I love black metal and I love like corpse paint as imagery, but I also love like Halloween and shit. You know what I mean? Like it should all have a fun aspect to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like, yeah. If you ever like watch a black metal backstage, it's way more embarrassing than what they put on stage. Like in terms of, like you said, these dudes just sit there silently, five dudes in a room, awkwardly just putting like shoe paint or whatever on their faces.
Yeah. Dude, I love Behemoth. I don't mean any disrespect when I say this. They have built-in makeup breaks in their set. They have moments where somebody vamps a little bit and everybody else runs off stage and fucking reapplies their makeup.
That's amazing. I never noticed that.
So, like, let's not, you know, let's... to me, again, it's just like, you can love something and still have a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's great. And, like, you know... I mean, having a makeup break in a black metal show is just the best. So you guys mentioned that if you got a chance, you would like to write, well, jokingly about black metal or whatever. So I was wondering, obviously, when the book comes out, people can find out what's in the book. But what did you have to cut from the book in terms of like, you know, were there any genres that almost made it but didn't or like anything like that?
I don't think we had to cut any one whole genre, but we had to cut a lot of elaboration on what's already there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like
sections on like metal fashion and whatnot, you know, that we had to cut. But,
even like, you know, paragraphs of love for like Bolt Thrower and Darkest Hour and like shit like that, just had to come out for space. Mm-hmm. And like, if I had my druthers, that would be, you know, the next thing.
So how, and this is a thing that we struggle with on the blog where we kind of, you know, we try to make these articles where we have like a list of, okay, this is the primer for metalcore. Go listen to these like five albums and whatever. And you guys have these, like you said, what was the term you used in the book? I forget, like homework.
They're like homework playlists. Homework. Yeah. Sort of if you want to go home and get ready for the test, here are the songs to listen to.
How'd you arrive at those lists?
You know, in terms of breaking down the writing, like we each, like the first thing we did was Axel and I sat down and we looked at the genres of metal and basically picked which ones we wanted to do or which ones we thought that the other person should do, which was helpful because there are certain things that like I just don't care about. Like I don't care about glam metal that much and Axel doesn't care about nu metal. And so like we could each sort of take the genres that the other one, you know, knew less about or whatever. But basically when we did that, we then just were sort of like, go with your gut and we'll see. And again, in terms of like two guys just talking, like we'd send each other edits that would be like, you know, there's no Skid Row track on here or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. So it was just sort of going with like this was also a great chance for me at least to show off a lot of B-sides where I'm like, this song doesn't get enough credit. You know, everyone should know this Nuclear Assault song or whatever. So
how'd you guys, like who did what genre?
Fuck, man.
This should be that hard of a question.
I've got the table of contents. So I covered like proto metal, like metal before it was metal, sort of classic rock. I covered Nwabahum, the new wave of British heavy metal. I did thrash, doom metal, new metal, and then Matt did the rest. You know, so that's like Matt did like glam metal, death metal and grindcore, black metal, metalcore, and deathcore and gent.
Who's this Matt guy?
This is right. I'm just going to shift carelessly between the two for the rest of my life.
Dude, I'm telling you, if when we had been 25, you had said to me, like, this is what you're going to do with your life, I would have been like, we're not using names.
So I guess that's a good point. How did you guys come to this position where you guys are writing? I mean, obviously Metal Sucks is huge, but how did you guys come to this position where, like, okay, we're gonna write a history of metal? Like, who did you pitch this to? Who kind of funded it? And, like, you know, whatever. Where does it come from?
Well, Hillary Clinton and the Illuminati funded
God
it.
Damn it!
I
remember the day Hillary dragged us in that back room at Bohemian Grove, put a gun to our head. You know,
yeah. The entire thing is an acrostic for Clinton 2020. It just says that over and over again.
Have you guys seen Verit?
No. What is that?
Oh God. One of Hillary's former staffers, Peter Dow is, I think, his name. He made a website that is literally just a WordPress blog for basically news stories with sources. Like, it's like Snopes, I guess, but instead of just, you know, is this true? It's more like, here's some pro-Hillary factoid, and it has a source. And they have, like, authentication codes on every article. So, like, if you ever see one of these images online, you can go to their website and check if it's for real. And it's like, this most bizarre thing, and Left Twitter has been dragging them through the mud all week. So, yeah.
Left Twitter has?
Yeah, because it's, like, so conceited and, like...
Got it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just bizarre, and, like, nobody asked for this. Anyway.
Right.
So for real though, where did this idea come from?
For real, I actually started working at the publishing house that it was published from, and I was talking to one of the editors there, and she was like, you know, we're doing a metal book. Do you know anyone who writes about metal? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I have been known in the past to write a sentence or two about metal, but I, you know, I'm not sure I could handle this alone. And lo and behold, I talked to Matt because I had been working for Metal Sucks for some time, and he was totally down. So it was much more of a thing where it was they were wanted to do a book about metal and found metal guys as opposed to metal guys, you know, hustling out with a manuscript under their arm. But it was kind of hilarious because early on we had to be like, we really want to do this, but you're sort of going to let us have to let us, like, you know, make fun of All That Remains and, like, you know.
Oh yeah, I saw the Phil Labonte dig at the end as well.
At the end.
I was gonna say that it's pretty consistent throughout.
Phil Labonte has a fucking narrative in this book.
There's a presence in this book. Man, we
need our time. Yeah, okay. Right.
He is the Pennywise the clown of this book.
I'm imagining a little kid, like, kneeling in a sewer grate, and Phil Labonte shit comes up. He's like, "Hey, cuck," you know.
But, down here, everything's auto-tuned.
So yeah, they were surprisingly cool with that. And there were a couple of moments where, like, it was very funny. I had talked to one editor at Cordo where they were like, "Who is this guy?" And I was like, "Oh, he's a singer. This is why we don't like him." And she was like, "Interesting." And I was like, "Well, so the reason we focus on him in the book," and she was like, "You know what? It's cool. I just don't care. I just need to know who he is." And I was like, "Great."
So, were there any moments where you're like, is this too far or anything beyond Phil Labonte?
That's tough. I feel like there must have been, you know.
I've never asked myself that question in my life and routinely get in trouble as a result. So,
I think there might have been.
I just depended on Chris the same way, like, in my day to day life, I depend on Vince to say, like, "Hey, don't do that."
There must have been a couple of moments where we were editing it. I feel like I remember some where it was like, "Hey, this is hilarious, but we can't possibly."
That definitely might have been true. But then again, I do make a joke about how Dead was, you know, very predictably the first member of that black metal crew to die. So
yes.
We definitely crossed some good taste lines.
Sure.
That's actually. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say. Well, never mind. We'll get to that later.
What? No. Go ahead.
Well, it was very interesting in writing the book in that, you know, there were a lot of things, like, happening in metal as you're writing this book about metal, which is very topical and whatnot. And so there'd be this moment of, like, like all of a sudden having to be like, I remember as we were mapping out the chapters, Axel being like, look, man, if we're going to talk about metalcore, we have to talk about As I Lay Dying and Tim Lambesis. I was sort of just sort of like, oh shit, man, I totally, that scandal had not registered as like a thing you got to put in the book now, you know, if you're telling the real shit. And so that was a running theme. Actually, when Chester Bennington passed away from Linkin Park, I like ran into my editor's office and was like, how far, like, how done is the book? And she thought I wanted to add a new chapter or something. She was like, Chris, please, like, it's going to the printers. And I was like, this just happened. You know, Chester Bennington just died. And she was like, oh, give me the page that would be on with a post-it on it telling me, like, what? And there's a moment where you're writing about something very grave on a post-it on like a spread in a publishing house, and you're kind of like,
yeah,
is this in good taste? Is this, you know, is this so how I expected the chapter to go? So
that's interesting in a sense, because like, in a sense, it's really easy to tell the far history because, you know, the significant events are easy to pick out. Like, you know, Chuck Schuldiner's death is a big deal. But in when telling the more recent history, it's harder to say which events and genres and bands and whatever are going to stand the test of time. And like, how'd you guys kind of balance that? Because I think, again, like, this is something that we've struggled previously while writing our own articles. So it would be interesting to pick your brain on it.
I mean, that was one of the cool things about doing it was like that. That's the stuff that has not appeared in books up till now for the most part. You know what I mean? Like Choosing Death by Albert Modrian is an amazing book. Like you said before, much more academic than ours. But like there's nothing on deathcore in there. So it was, you know, that was cool to say like, all right, we're gonna, what do we think is important? And we're going to get to help shape that narrative to some degree.
Does that weight feel like it's too much, or are you like, well, whatever?
Like, I personally, I don't know about Chris, I made my peace with it a long time ago because of what I do at Metal Sucks. It's just like, I know people think that I have some like insidious plan or whatever, but
the Hillary
agenda.
Swear
to God, I swear to God, I'm just doing the best I can. So, like, you know, I roll with it and accept that I'm going to make mistakes along the way and hope for the best.
Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
You know, I mean, it's sort of the easy answer is like anytime somebody famous like goes to jail or stands trial, I was like, we need, like, it was funny too. You know, so much of our metalcore chapter or a large portion of our metalcore chapter is about Randy Blythe and Lamb of God. And, you know, Randy Blythe going to jail in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
You know, and like, as Matt's saying, like, that's something that isn't in a lot of books right now because it's not as recent, and something that, like, I remember when that happened, it really shook the metal community. You know, anyone I talked to about metal, we ended up talking about that. And so, you know, I think there are just those moments where you're like, no matter what, like, this is all I talked about for like a good 2 weeks. Like, I want to feature that. I want to talk about sort of its impact on the scene, you know.
So did you guys, I don't know how much of independent research you guys did for this. Like, for example, Randy's autobiography that came out, I think last year, talks about that, obviously. And so like Nergal's biography talks about his battle with cancer and stuff. So did you guys kind of do some research on that in terms of like reading other materials, or did you guys just kind of rely on your own experience / general historic knowledge?
We went to a couple of people's autobiographies. Like, I know Chris and like definitely did another, although I'm sure knowing Chris, he's already read it 17 times. Lemmy's autobiography is quoted in the book.
I will use any chance in the world to read and quote Lemmy's autobiography.
Like, my dream for Chris is for me to be rich enough that I can go to his church and replace all the Bibles with copies of Lemmy's autobiography without anybody knowing about it.
God, it would be amazing.
Just open it up and there's Lemmy's autobiography.
I hope we could cut out the pages and put like a gram of coke or meth in each autobiography.
You know, just coat the pages in acid so the mere act of touching them.
Oh, that's genius, man. You break off a little bit of Lemmy's autobiography at church and then you just trip balls, you know?
No, just print the book on pages made from weed. Just you can, yeah. Like anytime yeah, you can just yeah. tear just off a rip page it out and smoke roll it. It. Yeah, there you go.
I love that. Oh, now you're talking my life. But for the more recent stuff, I think we relied a little bit more on firsthand knowledge or on accounts, not necessarily from like books so much as from other news reports. You know, like in Randy's case, the Polish media covered that story very closely and there's all kinds of that stuff available.
So total switching gears, unless you guys want to stay on this line of thought.
Yeah, I mean, switch gears, man.
How did you guys pick Matt Heafy for the intro? Because Trivium, I'm a huge, huge, huge Trivium fan. I was delighted to see that. So just curious, like why Matt Heafy of all people? I mean, he's an eloquent guy and I mean, I'm a fanboy, but how did you guys pick him of all people?
He's been a friend of Metal Sucks for a long time. He's always been supportive. And like you said, he's eloquent. That's, you know, having edited a lot of guest blogs by musicians over the years, you'd be surprised to learn that many heavy metal musicians are borderline illiterate. Yeah. So the fact that Matt, like, is eloquent is a big deal.
Yeah.
And we're fans. It just seemed like a good fit.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's funny. In metal, I feel like there's like a handful of dudes who, when you're a metal journalist, like you know of as like a pleasure to talk to and like a great dude, and who actually thinks about his answers or when they respond. And like there are a handful. Like I would say Frank Bello from Anthrax is widely known as a dude who everyone's just like a pleasure. It's a pleasure to talk to Frank. And Matt's one of them. You know, Matt's one of the guys who I've interviewed for, I want to say Revolver. And was just like every second was like intelligent and eloquent and at the same time easy to talk to. And so when we were looking for someone in metal who also we think represented this idea of it being a more modern metal book, you know, there are a million and one books with intros by people like, you know, Lemmy or King Diamond or what have you. We definitely were looking for somebody who is a bit more current, but very much also very metal, you know, like very much involved in the genre.
So, kind of along the lines of Trivium, do you guys expect that there will be any sort of backlash to the book, either in terms of people/genres you kind of shit on, or just being people going like, no, that's not how that happened? Like,
yes.
I mean, of course, this is the metal community,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But yes. Like, have you read the comments on Metal Sucks?
Oh, God. I try not to. I really try not to. No, I actually
don't. But I've heard they're terrible.
At least you guys, your comment section isn't like Lamb Goat or whatever.
Ugh. Well, we have a moderator, people don't realize.
Oh.
So there's somebody in there doing some policing.
I mean, I remember when I posted an article about, I forget his name, White Power Pantera guy.
Phil
Anselmo.
Anselmo, yes, thank you. I don't know why I blacked on that.
I was actually about to say all four. That's probably not fair.
Fuck. well, you know, anyway, so I posted an article.
There were a lot of Confederate flags on that stage.
On the fucking guitars, man. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, That was a sick burn. So when I posted an article when that thing happened, like the comment section on our blog was just fucking terrible. There were dudes like, there was this one guy who kept writing like 3,000 word like manifestos about like eugenics and shit. And it's like, fuck, go. Where the fuck does this come from? I mean, I know where it comes, but it's like, do you guys see any hope for the community in that sense? Like, do you guys see any improvement? Because I mean, it feels like maybe it's due to the recent events and the internet kind of taking a turn. It's gotten worse, but it's maybe more visible. I don't know.
The thing is, like, at least in terms of Metal Sucks, the comment section is actually like 0.001% of the readership.
Yeah.
So like, it's not, we've never really seen it as like representative of what the readers think. For some reason, the people who have nice things to say about what we're doing say it on Twitter or Facebook or by email, not in the comment section. So I do see hope. Like, I think change is generational. And I think, like, throughout history, whenever people try to put forward a progressive ideal that, you know, people don't want things to change and they kick back hard, but they lose every time. The only way that we might not win in the long run is if global warming kills us all before that happens.
I think a lot of people who even love Metal Sucks already know the Metal Sucks comment section as like the grossest bar in town. You know what I mean? And so I have no desire to like, I'm going to walk in and brave and be like, I thought this article was really well written and well informed, only to have like 17 replies be like, I thought your mom was well informed while I fucked her trachea or whatever. You know what I mean? and then somebody randomly yelling like Jews out or something like that. You know,
people with the Hitler avatars,
right? Well, and so in that respect, I feel like the comment section has become its own little shitty community, and the people who are there are just, you know, there to exercise that like troll instinct. But in terms of Metal getting better, man, you know, there will always be pricks and shitheads and whatnot. But I even see some of the newer stuff being done with Metal and some of the newer personalities in Metal being a lot more, you know, intelligent and in tune. I think that I sort of stereotype of a metalhead as like a homophobic, illiterate piece of shit is dying out a little. Is kind of you know, for every way that the internet is a huge pain in the ass, it's also given us access to information so we can be more well informed. And you know, man, I just think it takes time, and also that like metal, you know, metal wasn't founded on necessarily a foundation of like open-minded brotherhood all the time, and so that's just something that's going to take time to kind of work with and grow, you know.
Yeah.
But there will always be assholes is the other thing. Like, no matter what, there will always be some asshole in metal.
So somebody asked us once, like, whose mind do we think we're changing with all of this political talk? And we're not trying to change anyone's mind, because the people who have decided that, like, they're going to be assholes and that's the way that they are, their minds are, they're gone. We're trying to get the, like, young kids who come up to us at shows and say they love Metal Sucks. And we're trying to show them, like, this is what's cool and don't be like those guys.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think it's generational. I think in the long run, it will hopefully work.
Well, in the book, I appreciated that you mentioned, like, not all black metal is just fucking terrible, and a band like Enslaved, for example, have eschewed these ideals. Right. And I like the semi-new movement in black metal to kind of explicitly distance themselves from that. What was that other band the other day? They got banned from playing because, like, they played with Immolation or something, but they were actually themselves an anti-fascist band. What the fuck? I can forget the name.
I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty big. Anyway, we talked about the podcast, but I forget. Anyway, so you say, like, Enslaved, for example, and I love Enslaved, by the way, have distanced themselves from this. And this is something that I really struggle with, what Eden and I call the game of racist chicken in this podcast, where, like, you see this black metal band, right? And they're not explicitly talking about racism and stuff, but then Hellhammer plays drums on the band, for example. Or, like, one of the members in the other band is in a, like, an SBM band. Like, or, because, I mean, the black metal scene is very incestuous, and it's hard to kind of separate these things out. Like, for example, I love Arcturus, but, you know, there's people in that band who are pretty open about their shitty views. Or, like, how do you think about Emperor, for example? Because Isan seems to be a cool guy, but Faust is on drums still. And, like, you know what I'm talking about here? Like, the whole, where is the line with these bands? What do you guys kind of feel about that? Because I always constantly struggle with this. That was a bit of,
dude,
a rant, but can you make sense?
No, I get it. Like, it's fucking hard, dude. Like, I love Emperor, and it fucking sucks that Faust is in the fucking band. Like, to me, I just try to take it on a case-by-case basis, and sometimes, unfortunately...
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm trying to think of how to put that. Like for me, it's not always even a conscious decision. Like, this has nothing to do with metal, but it's just a great example. Like, I loved the movie Braveheart when I was a kid. It mm-hmm. is not my choice not to be able to enjoy Braveheart anymore. Mm-hmm. It is hearing too much of Mel Gibson's insanity over the years. I watch him, and I'm just like, fuck this guy, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
It often ends up like that for me in metal, where it just becomes like, this is no longer really my decision.
Yeah, and like, I go to like, I don't know, I hear some cool band, and then I go to...
Who the fuck is typing?
Not me.
Sorry, that's me. That's me. That's me. Sorry, guys.
I find this cool band, and then I go through like metal archives, and then find like 2 degrees away from like a hardcore racist band. Like, fuck. Like, and sometimes maybe they're separated enough, but it's hard to say sometimes. Like, and like one example that I faced was like Drunk. I think that's how you pronounce that band. Where like they seem okay, but then you go and like they've actually members of the band have said pretty shitty things in the past, and like they haven't really recanted that stuff, for example. And like, what?
Nothing.
Oh, like the biggest what the fuck I had was with Maids of Asphodel. You guys know that band?
Sure, sure.
Like, what the fuck is that band about? Like, sorry, this is a huge derail, but like, I just want to mention this. Like, these guys, and correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I've done a little bit of research on this, but I'm not like I don't know what the fuck to think about this band. Like, they explicitly talk about like the Holocaust and like stuff like that in their albums. They have a concept album based on the Holocaust, and like they used to be on this NSBM label. That sounds pretty bad, right? But then like they post like these long ass posts about like how they're just trying to show that racism is like the evil of the world, and this is what happens when people hate each other. And they've been like interviewed by a rabbi for some Jewish newspaper, but still, like, then they like have incredibly suspect lyrics. Like, what the fuck are you guys trying to do? What is the message here? Like, what, like, how am I supposed to feel about this?
So yeah, fucking confusing. It can be hard to know. To me, the biggest question mark would be like, well, how did you end up on the NSBM label?
Because that's where they started, and then they left.
Yeah, this sounds really stupid, but yeah. I know a number of bands who, you know, they were 18, 19 years old, and someone came along and was like, I want to put out your record. And they were like, great, where do I sign? They did no fucking research.
Yeah.
And they turned around and they were like, holy fuck, look at who we're on a label with. And yeah, they got out of there as soon as they could, but that's now like a permanent mark on their record.
Yeah, and this is like, they've been there for a while, and they still kind of associate with some of those bands, but also
yeah, so,
like, they post like explicitly anti-racist stuff. Like, they've said stuff like national pride, like, okay, within the same manifesto of them talking about like how what the fuck is
Axel,
that
are you growling?
No, it's my fucking dog.
So
this dog over the years, by the way, has disrupted interviews with Phil Anselmo, Ice-T, Bjorn from Enslaved, and I'm forgetting some people. Like, fuck this dog.
It's funny.
Sorry, go on.
I heard some whimpering earlier, and after the gate sound that sounded like you walking through a dozen meat hooks, I was like, is Axel doing this interview while he's murdering someone
no,
in like
just
a basement?
The new cattle decapitation video.
Right.
Yeah. Sasha, shut the fuck up.
Sorry, last thing on this point, then we can move on. But like within the same manifesto, they say like anti-Semitism is one of the worst things that happened to humanity, and then national pride is frowned upon, but Jews can show their pride. Why can't white people show their pride? What the fuck are you talking about, dude? What the fuck?
Well, that's a big thing I feel like with metal is doing a lot of, you know, especially in metal.
Sasha, do you want to go? You want to go to sleep?
Oh,
stop it. Go on.
I love the idea that your dog just loves National Socialist black metal.
Well, I wish I could send you a picture. You know what he's doing as he's growling is tearing apart a Donald Trump.
Is it a
doll.
Copy of our book? Okay.
So he is doing it in the spirit of the conversation.
Sure. No, I mean, I think a lot of these bands these days really like that sort of mixed messages thing of being like, our one member thinks this, though our other member has differing political views, you know what I mean? And I agree that it's a case-by-case basis, but I also just these days, you know, the older I get and the older I get and the less I'm concerned with, like, you know, the inner workings of, like, every band in the modern scene and like questioning everything, I'm a bit more like, no, this is what I believe, and I'm pretty invested in that. You can sort of begin to pick the bands where you're just like, yeah, I just don't feel the need you know, if a band is like blowing up right now and I don't love their music and they have any questionable politics, it's pretty easy for me to be like, I don't hate Inquisition, but you know, I do. I don't love their music in such a way that I'm like, well, I need to defend them and their rights or whatever. I can just be like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to get involved with a band like that. You know,
Anytime that somebody says, how come it's okay to celebrate such and such a type of cultural pride, but not white pride? That to me is immediately a red flag.
Red flag.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If you have to ask that question, then you fundamentally don't understand why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
And it also has a bit of a whiny non-metal kind of, well, why aren't I allowed to have like a celebration of my white pride?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like,
you willfully ignorant jackass, you know?
It's really fucking bizarre, man. Like... Anyway.
It's interesting too, man, that like there are a lot of times where like that band has that one member or they have that cover artist, you know, where it's sort of like, look, we just appreciate what they do. And you're kind of like, yeah, but you're putting money in the pocket of a dude who like, you know, is like actively hating people for, you know, their religion or their race or whatnot. So
yeah,
it's fucked up.
So speaking of like band members having different opinions, another thing that's pretty endemic of the metal community, I feel like, is bands, a lot of bands that are just, like, weird, unprofessional, shitty people, I think. Like, this is, maybe this is kind of my opinion in interacting with some of the folks.
No, dude, that's just musicians, man.
Like, yeah, is it all man. Musicians?
No, that's not fair at all, obviously, but, like, having worked with musicians a lot and in a past life with actors a lot, I can tell you that, as it turns out, somebody who wants to stand in a spotlight and perform for the approval of total strangers for a living is going to be a little bit fucked up in the head.
Like people who write for websites?
Sure. That too.
Yeah, no, but I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, like a lot of them are idiots or flakes or like that's just the way it is. But like, a lot of them are also perfectly fine.
Yeah, sure, for sure. Like, for every decapitated who gets arrested for kidnapping people, there's also, like, bands full of totally normal, cool, and...
Well, who did decapitate kidnap? This is... I'm fascinated, but...
Look it up. You're sitting at a computer.
There's a website you can go to right now called metalsucks.net, and they have an article up about it.
Do they have an article up? Hold on.
Well, yeah, Dan... No.
I hope so. He sent me 5 fucking text messages.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
In California, Spokane.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it, like a 27-year-old girl?
30 and a 35-year-old and a no, wait. What?
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
The band members. No, that's talking about the band members.
Oh.
Okay.
But it was a girl, right? Who went to one of their concerts allegedly?
It seems to be kidnapping a woman after their show on August 31st. It's probably a developing story, so it's hard to kind of, you know, nail it down right now. I guess we'll see in the coming days, but what the fuck, man?
God, that band is fucking cursed.
Right?
Yeah, man, that's very true. I mean, it's funny that this happened because I never thought of them as the kind of band where I'm like, well, this is decapitated you're talking about, but I definitely think of them as the kind of band where terrible and random shit will happen to them on a regular basis. So.
You remember a couple of years ago when they were almost in a plane crash?
Yeah.
And it's like Final fucking Destination. What the fuck is going on?
I mean, to be fair, the band kidnapping someone isn't something terrible happening.
No.
Of course. To be fair, when I see decapitated in a headline, I'm not like, you know, wait, decapitated? Really? You know, I'm sort of like, oh boy, what is this now? So,
to whatever degree I believe in bad juju, there is bad juju around that band.
Exactly. It was funny writing the book. One of the things I found was when researching AC/DC. AC/DC is just a band who, when you look at what's happened in their career, like on a single sheet, you're just like, holy shit! Like,
how did
all of this happen to one? Exactly. How did all of this happen to one band? And so Decapitated, I feel like, are a band where I'm like, how did all of this, you know, how is all of this going down with my band? So
total non-sequitur.
But I'll just say right now, if they kidnapped a woman, then their career is over.
Hopefully.
I would think, although who knows, with Tim Lambesis.
Yeah, he still has fans.
And like, yeah, all bets are off.
I don't know if you guys follow like the rap community, but the recent story about the artist, is it called like XXXTentacion or whatever? You guys familiar with that?
I know this.
I'm not. No.
There's this rapper who like savagely beat his pregnant girlfriend, and like is like, you know, people are still supporting him. So awesome, I guess.
Sure. Well, pregnant women are tough to deal with.
I mean.
I don't know what to say. I hold people in a very low opinion for a reason.
No, I concur that, like, as a fan of the NFL, like, this is the kind of stuff I'm like, yeah, it's horrible. It's really, really horrible, you know?
It's almost as horrible as, like, a bunch of rich white guys putting tons of money into a sport wherein large black men kill each other for their amusement.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Post your salt in the comments, please.
right.
I totally lost my segue after this.
Sorry.
All right, so I guess, well, you know, Ollie from Archspire has said some shitty things as well, but hey, I hope he gets money to beat up Tim Lambesis.
I mean, I think he was kidding.
I know.
I like to think he was kidding.
But hey, if it happens, you know, let them fight.
I don't know. I always think like intellect and wit are much more eviscerative, if that's a word, than
now it is
physical force. Like, I really think, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, you know, if you lack intellect and wit, then you can't be convinced of that.
Sure, sure. There's that.
Then you hire a guy in your gym. Oh, God.
Is that like the biggest controversy in metal that has happened for a lot while?
I was just going to say.
How is that a controversy?
I feel like
nobody denies. Even he doesn't deny. Like, there's no two versions of that story.
No, I meant scandalous event.
There were two times in the history of Metal Sucks when I was leaving my apartment to go to a show and I suddenly got an email from a reader saying this happened. And I was like, this is a troll. This is bullshit. One was when Randy got arrested and one was when Tim got arrested. I was shocked. Like, yeah. Fuck, dude, what happened?
I knew. I knew Tim's personal trainer, and not at the same gym. Well, but like, that was such a fucking bizarre story, man. Like, I almost worked out with Tim once, and like, man, like, it was pretty obvious that he was on roids for a while, and like,
yeah,
like, fuck. Do you guys see that, like, when he got arrested, he had this long ass interview with one outlet. I don't remember what. Like, it was like his last.
It was Alternative Press.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. And some point in that article, he blames what happened on his like losing religion and atheism. Did you guys saw that?
Yeah, he.
Fuck.
Like, this is part of my problem with him is that he's unrepentant.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like, he's like, guys, I fucked up. that's basically his attitude.
I got caught. Like, sorry.
Yeah, I got caught. Sorry. Like, it's like, I don't think he really is sorry for what he did.
Yeah.
And
George Lynch, of all people, breaking the story that he said, that was also really weird.
Yeah, well, George's daughter and Nick Hippa. I don't know if they're still a couple, but they were for a long time.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense now.
So, like, that was the connection there.
Oh, I see. But so now, God, I can't believe that, like, this guy comes out and, like, he's like, okay, I'm going to continue making As I Lay Dying, and there people are like, cool,
yeah,
awesome.
P.S., like, the other four dudes in that band are the four nicest people in the history of the world.
I can imagine.
And so, like, it just, they could not, a nicer group of dudes could not have gotten screwed. Sasha, if you growl at me one more time.
And, you know, the other thing we have to remember is that Tim Lambesis is out of prison because when he went there, he grew breasts.
Yeah.
And he was the subject of countless, constant ridicule. And he, didn't he manage to take legal action against the prison for not for causing his breast growth?
He filed a lawsuit. I don't know how that turned out. I don't think that's why he's out of prison.
I think he's out because, like, you know, in this country,
he's just on
parole or whatever.
On parole, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh,
God. I even felt like the breasts were an excuse. I was like, it can't have been some terrible, like, technicality of our prison system or, like, you know, I assumed it was all breast related. And now I'm finding out that it was just some, he's just out on parole because we suddenly thought he's fine. It's okay.
My understanding, and I apologize if I'm misinformed, but I don't think I am. Yeah, Sasha, great. Is that Tim's family is wealthy.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that had a lot to do with him being paroled. That's just my two cents.
Well, I can't wait until he puts out his new D&D campaign.
Yeah, that'll be...
I'm
dying to see what four assholes join that band. Like, who the fuck are these four twits who agree to be in a band with Tim Lambesis?
Yeah, that thinking about that, like, how the fuck does that happen? But hey, you know, then again, like, look at Varg's YouTube channel, like, fucking
hell. Right.
That's what I was referring, by the way, with the D&D campaign thing. I don't know if you
guys are familiar
with that. Like, Varg...
Tim Lambesis' D&D campaign would be pretty hilarious, though, where it's like, you know, I'm a level 5 gym rat with enormous breasts. Like, let's take the roll for breasts, you know? Sorry. Anyway.
This is... I love how off the rails this train is. This is great. Okay, so I don't know how to write this ship. So, like, another thing that is, I guess, kind of along these lines. Like, do you guys have, like, for example, with Heavy Blog, if we see that a band is just like a full of assholes and like they've said some racist shit or whatever, we're just not going to cover them, right? We don't want to give them any publicity. And do you guys have like blacklist is maybe a strong word, but like, you know, these lines where you've decided, like, we're not going to talk about this because it just gives them more publicity.
Yeah, again, like, it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I felt like in the book, there's, you know, when you're covering metal history, you need to talk about certain people who maybe you think of as massive pieces of shit, but, like...
Like Philip Bonte.
Like Philip Bonte, like Varg Vikernes.
Yeah, you can't talk about black metal and not discuss what happened with Varg.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it would be weird.
Right. No, and so in that respect, you've got to acknowledge, like, there are certain people where on a certain level, I do believe in that idea. Like, you got to talk about what happens so you also know, like, how bad it got and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely people who, like, I'm much more a believer in if somebody is, again, as we were saying earlier, like, shitty and... you know, irrelevant to the broader conversation. Like, their only contribution is their shitty little racist comment or whatever. I'm just like, just ignore that person. They'll go away. You know?
Yep.
I would
be very interested in hearing a version of black metal history where you don't mention Varg at all.
Then something happened and a lot of people went to jail. Why'd they go to jail? Some reason, you know, tax fraud.
Black metal started in Norway in the early 90s or the late 80s, depending on your point of view. And nothing interesting happened until 2000.
They made
for 10 or 12 years, it was just smooth sailing.
Black metal started around 92 and then in 98, Cradle of Filth became very famous. And you're like, what happened?
Nothing happened in between.
It wasn't until Cradle of Filth in 1998.
The black metal really hit its stride.
Incidentally, a bunch of churches disappeared.
Right.
God damn it. So another thing is that a lot of the stories of these genres can be potentially played out, like the story of black metal, right? So how did you guys kind of put your own spin on it and make it interesting? Like, did you guys struggle with that, or were you just like, you know what, we'll just tell this, it doesn't matter?
Well, I think that's where the humor comes in, because
exactly.
Like Lords of Chaos, you know, really interesting book, but not a laugh riot.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like, that that metal sucksy sarcastic tone was key for both of us.
I think. I mean, I think that also in terms of it being an opinionated book, you know, not trying to do something totally academic. Like when I was writing about thrash, I wrote a lot about how thrash kind of saved metal from being like too nerdy for its own good. Mm-hmm. That like before thrash, it was all a little bit like Dragons and Fishnet and like, you know, Dio, who is awesome, but is also cheesy, you know, and thrash showed up and was like angry as hell and fast as fuck and spawned extreme metal, you know? And so I think that's, it's important to sometimes see metal as like what it was to fans and to people who loved it. You know what I mean? And that means sometimes just sort of, you know, coming out and being like, look, this is an old story. You know, everyone knows the story of Cliff Burton or everyone knows the story of the Big Four. But saying, you know, this is how it felt. And sort of, this is the truth that we all kind of have to admit, you know, is where it gets interesting, you know, because I've read so many metal books about metal that are, it was what you're saying before about Wikipedia, how it's somebody being like known for it. It's speedy guitars and you know, heavy rhythm section. Heavy metal is a genre. And I'd much rather be that guy, you know, being like, you know, there were some Nothing Face songs that were pretty fucking good. You know what I mean? Like, let's talk.
No, there weren't. Sorry, something caught in my
throat. There were a couple of decent Nothing Face songs.
I keep confusing Nothing Face with the band that like invented their own instrument that is also named after the band, which is like a table.
Okay, just say, like, as a rule, if you can't remember who a band was, that doesn't speak well of that band.
No, but like you'll know what I'm. The band that like invented their own instrument that it has the same name as the band, and it's like a table with a cable on it.
I sort of know who you're talking about. I forget they had a weird ass name and they invented a bunch of weird ass guitars. It was
Motor Grader.
Yes, maybe. Was that Motor Grader? I thought Motor Grader was like a Slipknot type, Ivan Moody and a bunch of other dudes. Was that them?
I don't know if Ivan Moody was in that band, but...
Ivan Moody was in Motor Grader.
Really? I did not know that. Wow.
Because to this day... Okay, fuck it, I'm going to talk shit. Their drummer, who I don't think was in the band when Ivan Moody was, because I think he's like 11 years old or something, he like is also their publicist. So we routinely get emails from him about Motor Grader's activities. And there's two things to me that are really interesting about these emails. One are that he almost always mentions that once upon a time there was someone from Five Finger Death Punch in this band, even though that person's not in the band anymore. And two, he quotes himself. It'll be like, this is clearly our strongest album to date, says drummer Noah Robertson, whatever the fuck his name is. And it's like, but that's who this email's from.
Dude, the fucking shitty PR emails we get are just like, you could write a book about just bad metal PR itself.
Oh, dude, I've started so many times to write a post just called like how to email a blogger label.
We did
just
that
because we you did?
Yeah, we did that, and there was some people got pretty upset because like, oh, we're, you know, the bands are just trying to hustle, man. They're trying to.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Fuck
no,
like, no.
I had a couple of band members contact me. I wrote some posts being like, here's what not to do. Like, don't flood my Twitter inbox or whatever. And all these bands were like, hey, man, you don't know what it's like trying to promote a band, you know? But like, I feel like there are five bands who I get a promo from twice a day, every day. You know what I mean? Yep. I feel like it's like the Haxons and Otherwise I get an email about every day, you know, and it's just infuriating.
So, or there's one 18th generation new metal band that emails everybody every time that the singer goes on Facebook and talks shit about somebody. And it's like, why do I care? It's like so-and-so calls out so-and-so. And I'm like, who gives a shit?
We have an internal heavy blog meme called Reason Why I Deleted Your Promo. And like some of these are like so fucking bad. Like, okay, this one I got like 2 weeks ago. I was sitting on the seashore, half listening to a friend arguing violently about something which merely bored me. Hello. And then now it turns into a blue font. Unconsciously to myself, I looked at a film of sand I had picked up on my hand when I suddenly saw, this is the promo. Like, there is no preamble. This is it. And like, fucking. What are you talking
about? Yeah, that's
bad. Like, that's another one bad. Titled, This is the Taylor Swift of Rap. Oh, we also get those like hard off genre emails that are like, why are you sending this to us?
Yeah, well, that I like to think that a lot of that is like just because of the publicity houses represent different genres and they put everyone on one list.
right.
But yeah, sometimes
I'm trying to think,
the terrible ones to me are like, hey, you should check out our band, and then there's no link.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, well, fuck you. This is literally, you had one job.
The most common bad one I get is like, for fans of five famous bands that sound nothing alike, and you click on the promo, right, and it sounds nothing like the bands either. Like, yeah, okay.
There was a period of like.
I'm trying to think of the last time I got a promo where like I found a new band and I loved them. You know, like I'm trying to think of the last new band whose promo I got. And I was like, oh, I'll check this out. And still listen to them to this day.
A few years ago, there was an Italian death metal band called the Modern Age Slavery.
Yeah.
And I clicked on their promo purely because I thought their album art was cool. And I fucking love them. I still love them. Like, their new album is coming out soon and I'm really stoked for it. But like, yeah, it's rare. You get a lot of garbage. For sure.
Oh yeah. So I mean, how does a young band get noticed these days then? Because like, yeah, there's just so much garbage, and like, you guys being
we listen to all of it, at least a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I can't really tell you how not to be garbage other than like just try not to do that. Like, what do you, like, I don't really know what to say.
No, but
if your idol is a muir, like, maybe don't.
No, but like, so obviously you guys are a bigger, higher profile site, and a lot of the stuff that you guys end up talking about ends up being bigger, higher profile, because that's just the nature of the game. So like, I'm just wondering, like, because, okay, let me shift gears here a little bit, because this is something interesting that we talk about. Like, you guys probably haven't seen this, but like, one of our editors, Nick, he posts these articles that are like a state of the industry type of analysis of the album of the year lists that the big metal industry sites post, like, you know, all the way from like Pitchfork to you guys and stuff. And like, there's oftentimes a bunch of albums that are pretty common, among all of these things, and it feels like there is basically a certain style that is pretty appreciated by all the bigger sites, and certain styles of music just don't make a mark on the radar of these bigger sites. Like, I don't know, if you're basically kind of sludgy, maybe a little bit posty, and maybe some like post black metal elements and stuff like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. If you sound like your band started in Brooklyn, then you've got a leg up than if you sound like your band started in Peoria.
And let me say something to the public right now about metal journalists. We're high all the fucking time, man. So if your band sounds really good while I'm super baked, there's a greater chance I'm going to be like, I need to write something about these guys right now. So I, you know, I think that's something a lot of times when you're saying like the sludgy, the progressive, I keep coming back to like the bands I listen to while I'm high, right? The bands I listen to while I'm high. And that's just, those bands sound like Black Sabbath a lot of the time. So like, it's cool to listen to them and whatnot. But, there are just also bands who like, it's really hard, man. When I was writing for Metal Sucks, I would write about a lot of great, weird underground black and death metal. And like, no one gave a shit. Like, we had no comments, very few shares or views.
I know the
and
struggle.
So like, there's that classic thing where I'm like, I would love you to listen to the new Crypt Rot, but like, I can't do anything other than post something on Metal Sucks being like, listen to this album, like, tell everyone. Right. And so there's this weird mix of like, well, we want to cover all sorts of music and give all types of music that coverage. But at the same time, there's also that thing of like, you know, like, you need to let us know. You need to get the word out as much as possible. Yeah. You know, there's a weird back and forth between the reader and the writer.
You know? Yeah, really, just it does come down to like, like Chris will tell you. I don't know if we ever said no to him when he was like, "Hey, I really like this band. Can I do a thing?" Like, we're all for that stuff. It's just that unfortunately, we also have to write. We have to write it up every time James Hetfield belches, because unfortunately, like that's what people read.
Yep. Yeah, I know that.
Well, so, actually, yeah, like you said, it's a struggle.
The That's interesting that you brought that up in terms of what people read, because like looking at kind of site views for the types of sites that we are over the years, over the past like 5-6 years that the heavy blog has been active, like blog, and you know, I use that word pretty liberally, blog type of views have been declining over the past years. You know, there's this whole economy of like clickbait advertising, social media eating into the views and stuff. I'm really curious about what you guys think about that and where the future of this industry is. And by industry, I mean us, like not the music.
You would think I would have more insight on this.
I was going to say, this is really one you should be fielding. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a firm believer. The more I become an old metalhead who just likes what he likes. I saw some article the other day, I think in Metal Hammer, where the headline, it was a picture of Ghost, and the headline was like, "Will metal conquer the world again?" And I'm like, that's not the question we need to be asking right now as metalheads. You know, this idea of like, will metal ever be the biggest genre in the world again? Who gives a flying fuck? And so I feel like when it comes to specifically to like metal style blogs, like, you know, I've always as a metalhead respected those sort of those bands and artists who keep doing what they do despite things changing, you know. And so I'm sure, you know, a blog like Metal, that's easy for me to say because I don't run Metal Sucks, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I do believe that like when it comes to metal blogs and metal publications and whatnot, you know, there's that moment of like you can't be too hyper aware of sort of the topical nature of things. You've really got to plug ahead with what you've always been doing. You know what I mean?
All we've ever tried to do, Vince and I, is like make the website that we want to read.
Right.
And like we'll keep doing that until people don't want to read it anymore. And we've always said like, it's going to suck, but like, this isn't going to last forever. Mm-hmm. So we'll do it until it's not relevant anymore. Hopefully we'll recognize that before we become sad. But some people would say we're already past that point. And you know, we'll go do something else.
You guys must have some sort of like business model plan, right? Like, I mean, for example, for Heavy Blog, like earlier on for the first 3-4 years, I think we were pretty similar to you guys plus the PRP, I guess, in terms of what we posted. But then like obviously we are a volunteer site, like we don't really make money beyond just, you know, paying for the hosting costs, so we can't really keep up with the big sites in terms of like catching up on the PR releases, right? Like the PRP is, and you guys are always going to get there first when there's some breaking story. And for us, you know, somebody has to write it, and then like a few hours later, maybe someone will post it, maybe it will be the next day. And that's just not sustainable. And you guys do it better than we do, so why compete with you guys? So 3 years ago, I think, we kind of switched our model. Instead of posting like 5-10 posts a day, we're posting like 3-5 posts, and it's all kind of like opinion pieces and like, you know, long form articles, or longer form at least, right? And actually, weirdly, our views increased. Like, you know, we started posting less. Like, clickbait is a very loaded term, but let's just use it for the sake of keeping the conversation shorter. But like, you know, the less we posted that and the more opinion type of stuff we posted, we actually started seeing more success in our, like, the decline in readership decreased, which was interesting to see. So I was just wondering if you guys have any sort of vision for, you know, the future of Metal Sucks or whatever.
Well, I mean, Vince and I have like state of the union meetings, just the two of us, because at the end of the day, like, you know, we love Chris, we love Anso, we love everybody who's written for us, but at the end of the day, it's me and Vince. So like, we do have these state of the union meetings, but it's very fluid.
Yeah, I mean, with us too, we kind of have an agenda, but we never stick to it.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sorry, what was the question?
I mean, in broad strokes, kind of, are you concerned for the future of, like, the blog business and...
Always, but only because I dread the day when I'm going to have to put on pants and get a real job again. But, like, again, I just, like, to me, I'm living the dream right now, and I'm going to enjoy it as long as I can. And then someday I'll have to go back to being a real grown up. or I'll get really lucky and not. Honestly, like, first of all, when we started Metal Sucks, we never thought we'd be doing it full time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time Vince came to me and he was like, I think we're getting enough traffic to sell advertising. Me being like, sweet beer money. Like, never, like never thinking like, oh, whatever. And I, like, even when I quit my job, when we were able to quit our jobs and started doing it full time, I wasn't like, well, we'll still be talking about this in 10 years. Like, the fact that we just had our 10th anniversary is fucking bonkers to me. So, no, there isn't a, like, there isn't really a plan. There's just like I said, we're doing the best we can making the website we want to make,
mm-hmm.
and it'll go on for as long as it can go on, and then it won't, and there'll be something else.
Hopefully that's as long as possible, man. Like, of course, you guys are really important to the industry, I think.
Thank you. From your lips to Dio's ears.
Okay, I guess this is kind of like a natural point for the conversation to trail off, unless you guys want to mention some other things about the book that we haven't really talked about and such.
Is it okay if, rather than talk about the book, I name like five bands who I hope everyone listening to this goes out and listens to after this?
After that, we can do that. Yeah, sure. But
do it.
Okay. Go listen to fucking, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to go listen to Rebel Wizard. I believe they're Australian. They make Negative Wizard metal. They're super awesome. Go listen to Beast Modulus from New York. They're really weird and wonky and good. Go listen to the Ominous Circle. That band is fucking amazing. And go listen to this band from Sweden named Exoskelet, who play like really grimy crust punk. All right. I feel like I've done my job as a metalhead now. So
Axel, you got any five bands?
The band, I'm going to say one band. There's a band from Massachusetts that I've been trying to get people to listen to for 2 fucking years now. They're called Dendritic Arbor. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
They're like, it's like blackened grindcore. It's cool. Fucking amazing. And like, fuck, more people need to listen to this band. Between us and all the podcast listeners, I sent one of their albums to an A&R guy and he wrote back, LOL, yeah, this'll sell. So, like, it's important that people fucking support this band because the industry ain't going to do it on its own.
I will be 100% shameless and promote my own band.
Cool.
Do it.
9NYN. I put out an album last month. It's, like, progressive/tech death. It's, like, very over the top. So if that doesn't sound appealing to you, don't listen to it. You'll hate it. But, hey, yeah.
Awesome. Listen to it anyway. Fuck it.
Yeah, there
open,
you go, man.
Open your mind, dude. Give it a chance.
Listen to all the fucking metal is my advice in regards to...
Like I said, we listen to all the shit people send us. It's just like you've only got a minute to impress us.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's funny. There's a term in publishing, which is if there's blood on the first page, you're good. So like if you open your your book with like the bullet careened through his head and splattered the walls or whatever, like awesome, I'm in it. So... advice to bands, we listen to all your promos, like, put the awesome shit first. I love
Jamie Josta was awesome tweeting the other day. Jamie Josta was tweeting the other day, like, no more intros. He was like, you need to grab my attention immediately. The day and age of the intro is dead. And I was like, yes, Jamie Josta, that's correct.
And also,
opens with, like, an echoey acoustic guitar, I'm immediately like, ugh. And that's like, so many of the great thrash albums do that, like Bathory albums and Metallica albums.
Yeah, but it was 30 fucking years ago, and like the times they are changing.
It's even worse when the intro is baked into the first track, so every time you want to listen to the fucking song, you have to listen to like a minute of garbage.
Kick is unless at, like, it's 20, like what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no. I was gonna look. There are exceptions to any rule.
Yeah, of course. For the most part. Yeah. I've been listening to the new Unleash the Archers album a lot lately, and I really hate that the intro is baked into the first track. It's like 30 seconds to a minute of just like build up, and it's like, please.
One really good solution to that is not to listen to Unleash the Archers.
Come on, man. Hey, you just said listen to everything.
I know. I'm just being, dude, you know, like, I just, if there's a chance to make a wise ass comment, I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I also appreciate you guys for like not shitting on baby metal too much.
Oh, I love baby metal.
I love baby metal. It wasn't like my top 10 favorite albums last year.
No. But like, have you seen them live?
Yeah, I have.
I mean, holy fuck, it's awesome. Dude. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go listen to Baby Metal. That's the message from this podcast.
That's the Baby Metal and Baby Metal and Nine.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And then buy our book.
Yes. And then buy Hellraisers. It's out October 2nd from Cordo Publishing.
Where
it's really
get
good.
The book? Work on Amazon.
$20 on Amazon.
It's $20 on Amazon. You should buy pre-order it right now. And otherwise, it will be available in Barnes & Noble and all the other fine book-selling places that are slowly evaporating around the country.
Unfortunately. And also, it's worth mentioning that the book has a lot of cool pictures in it as well. Like, it's very visual, like the title suggests.
It's a big, beautiful book. It has awesome cover art by Mark Riddick, which features a zombie with a demonic guitar. So you know it's fucking good. That's a big thing. Is we got our physical copies the other day, and it's always good to look at a book and be like, you know, this. No matter what, it will forever have a zombie playing a demonic guitar on the front. So.
I can't wait to show it to my kids.
Are you guys gonna have an audiobook version?
Yeah, it's we're working on it right now. It's going to be read by Chris. Can I tell them? Fuck it. It's going to be read by the hologram of Dio.
God damn
it. I kind of am imagining now, like, chapter one, proto battle. You know? So.
No, for real, though, you guys.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of. If they come to us and they're like, do an audiobook, as you can tell, Axel and I like to talk and yell about metal bands. So
we'll fucking do it. And pitch it.
Intonation, you know?
Yeah. The first ever audio book of a fucking coffee table book.
We're gonna release it on cassette. We're gonna release like 10 copies.
Vinyl.
You can only order them from Bandcamp. Bandcamp, exactly.
But also, like, we're gonna release a third of it is just us describing pictures.
Right, exactly. And here's Metallica looking like 14 years old with their gossamer mustaches. It's fucking beautiful, man.
Here's that classic pic of Chuck Schuldiner in black and white just looking over his guitar.
Yeah, well, it's like the only decent picture that exists of him. It's so weird.
There's also that one where he's topless.
I don't even know that one.
I was just going to say.
It's from a show where he's like, I think it might be like a photo from one of the DVD shows or something like that. Whatever.
Oh, got it. Oh, no, I think I do know what you're talking.
You also need to release an album on the fucking book on vinyl. And, like, I was just gonna say, like, have you guys seen the limited edition of the new August Burns Red album on vinyl? It's like 6 fucking discs, 7-inch vinyls.
No, I've never seen willingly anything having to do with August Burns Red.
God damn it. Anyway, like, it's like 6 fucking 7-inch vinyls. Just why?
You know what? There actually, like, is a reason for that, but and I know this because we just sponsored a lecture at Sonos.
Oh,
by
do tell.
Steven Brodsky from Mutoid Man and Alan, I always mispronounce his name. Douche? I always pronounce it douches, and that's not right.
Listen to the new Mutoid Man, by the way, if you're listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, for me to explain it would take 78,000 fucking hours. But I strongly encourage everyone to Google it.
What the fuck are we going to Google?
You have to fit a certain amount of, you can only fit so much information on any one piece of physical media, right?
I know, but, like, why not just one big
disc?
So
for, what do you mean? The record would have to be the size of a fucking movie theater.
No. What they're doing is, this is 6 tiny vinyls instead of one regular size.
Oh, I thought you meant it was 6 regular size.
No.
Oh, then I don't have a good answer for you.
Apparently, sorry. This is the thing that bands have been doing for a while now, like in the past year or so, like just releasing these weird limited editions with like 6 fucking. No one's gonna listen to that. Anyway, that's a good note to end on, right?
Yeah.
Good fact.
Okay.
All right. Well,
dudes, I'm sorry. I'm gonna hop off because, they left. Fuck it. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for doing this, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Bye.
And that's I hope decapitated don't go to jail.
Me too, Jesus.
God. All right.
Later, dudes.